Amen. Thank you, Brother David, for that. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will. 1 Peter and the New Testament of your scripture this morning. 1 Peter and chapter number 3. Inside of your class bulletin is a companion handout for the lesson. And I want to encourage you to find that as well. And you can use that to follow along as we study this morning out of the Word of God, and we continue in a brand or in a new series that we have been laying the groundwork for, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And so find the student handout, if you will, and then find 1 Peter chapter number 3 in your scripture, and we'll settle in and we'll jump right into the lesson together this morning. We took several weeks to kind of lay the groundwork for the series out of Ephesians 5, where God commands husbands to love their wives and God commands wives to reverence their husbands. And we laid some groundwork regarding understanding God's way and some of these principles. And then we started last week, we turned a corner with the series to now some practical lessons. How can we as husbands love? How can wives reverence? And we've been kind of looking at that, or to maybe how that could be done. And so as we look at 1 Peter chapter number 3 this morning, let's begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of the gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden heart of the man, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God and of a great price." Now, in 1 Peter chapter number 3, we see that a husband can be greatly affected. In fact, even a lost man can be turned to the things of the Lord through the conversation or the conduct or the behavior or the way of his wife. And as we shift in our series to these practical thoughts and lessons now of how to love and how to reverence, we started last week with the men and how to love. We talked about being close. Our wife wants to be close with us, and we want to be close with her. And we study maybe how we can do that from a practical sense, or how we can do better with that. And these lessons are designed, as we turn this corner, to be practical and to offer us applicable help that we can take with us each and every day as we strive to love and reverence and to fulfill our role. Now, ladies, today we focus on you, and I just want to stop and say thank you for coming. If you were here last week, you knew we were going to be gunning for you today, so we're appreciative that you're here. If you're visiting today, we're going to have a little bit of fun with this series and kind of focus a little bit more practicality on wives in 1 week and then husbands in next. So if you're going to visit back with us, husbands, you got to be here next week, all right? She's got to know you're committed to this thing. So in this lesson, we want to help wives in the area of being proactive and positive and even preventative, learning from the Word of God and learning how it is to be reverencing unto your husband and a respectful woman in the home. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, and you see it there in your notes, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with their hands." So this morning, ladies, you're either building up your home or you're plucking it down. Okay? There's not really neutral ground. You're either building it up or you're plucking it down. And God certainly wants you to build it up. And God teaches you how, which is what we're going to look at this morning. And this idea in this series out of Ephesians is to reverence. Reverencing is the idea of unconditional respect. And we spent some time in our introductory lessons. We won't spend too much time there this morning. But for some women, that sounds like an oxymoron. It sounds like this is an impossibility. How can I give him unconditional respect? He needs to earn my respect. And yet, when we think of the challenge from the Word of God in Ephesians 5 to men 4 different times, to love your wife, God challenges us to unconditional love. And we laid the groundwork in the introductory series that, listen, no wife in this room would stand behind this lectern in front of everybody else in here and say, "Listen, I'm the perfect wife. I'm the epitome of everything that a wife should be, and I am constantly deserving of unconditional love." We don't have any takers this morning. There's no wife that's going to do that. But God says to your husband, unconditionally love. So God says to your husband, unconditionally love someone who at times may not be lovable. Okay? And then God says to the wife, reverence your husband. Full well knowing there's going to be times where he's not that reverenceable, where you may not feel like reverencing him. But God commands you to reverence him because it's what he needs and it's what will strengthen your relationship. And remember, the Bible talks about the clothing of a wife in Proverbs 31:25 of strength and honor. And when a wife is clothed in strength and when she's honorable and when she's carrying herself honorably and coming across respectfully, it's an incredible help to her marriage relationship. Ladies, by way of introduction, before we jump into today's thought on reverencing, I want to give you a quick tip. Stop and consider the things that you respect about your husband. And then ask yourself the question, when's the last time I've communicated to him about this? Jot down 6 or 8 things. I appreciate or I respect this about him. And then you might get him alone or get his attention for a moment and say, honey, I just want you to know I've been thinking about you lately. There are some things I really respect about you, and I just want you to know that. You don't have to list what they are necessarily. I'm going to tell you what that's going to do. It's going to do 2 things. Number one, he wants to know what the list is. He wants to know what you wrote down because he wants to be respected. He wants to know what has caught your attention from that standpoint. And then he wants to meet that. In other words, that expectation or that noticed attribute, he wants to live there the best that he can. And some ladies might be thinking, Brother Roy, I just don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how I can reverence him or respect him. You know, I know him and I know things that have happened or things in the past or whatever. And I just want to encourage you out of Corinthians this morning. We walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to me. God's way works. And you can reverence him because God loves you and because God has forgiven you and God will give you the strength to do what is right in your relationship. And he's not going to deserve disrespect and reverence at every moment. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:20 in your notes. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let's read that verse together, all right? For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ladies, God says, listen. Ladies, there's not a just man on earth. There's not a man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. My righteousness is but filthy rags. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Nothing in me or anything that I do impresses God at all. That's who I am. That's who God says I am. And that's who we are collectively in this room as men. And that doesn't mean we're striving to be as bad as we can. It just means that, hey, God says it plainly. There's no just man on the earth. None that doeth good and sinneth not. None of us are perfect. We all need the Lord. We need God's strength. We need the filling of His Spirit. And ladies, you need to be cognitive of the fact, hey, my husband's not going to be perfect, but God has challenged me and commanded me to reverence him. God made the man to lead his family and to provide for them. And he's to be the first among equals. We talked about some of this in the introductory lessons, but this is who God has created him to be. And God challenges you now as the wife, reverence who he is and the position that God has given him. And when you're having a hard time looking past the things that you know in his life that are not respectable, remember that God has told him to look past the things in your life that are unlovable. Sometimes we focus so much on the hindrance to doing our part and we totally overlook the fact that there may be a hindrance to somebody doing their part to us because of who we are. And often to make a better marriage, it's not, boy, God work on my wife today or work on my husband today. It's God work on me today and help me to be who I should be in our relationship. So, ladies, let's dive in. And let's talk this morning about appreciating his desire to work and achieve. And by this, I mean the desire that God has given in his nature to conquer the challenges of his world, to work, to achieve, to provide. If you, as a wife this morning, can begin to understand how important your husband's work is to him, it will help you take a giant step forward in your ability to reverence him and communicating your respect and honor to him. By the way, those are 2 things he values even more than your love. your respect and your honor for who he is. So let's look at reverencing his desire to work and to achieve and looking and understanding at it from three perspectives or characteristics. Number one, I want us to see his pedigree. His pedigree, okay? Brother Gabe, where does this innate desire come from for work and achieving and all of that in him? What's the beginning of it? Remember last week when we talked to husbands about loving, we went back to Genesis and the whole relationship? Well, let's do so here for the men as well and see where this started. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15 there in your notes. And here's the first career assignment, okay, that's given in the Word of God. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, ladies, listen to me. Before Eve was ever created, Adam was created and he was given a job. Here's the garden that God made, and Adam, your job is to keep it, to dress it, to manage it, to maintain it, okay, to oversee it. And God made Adam, and God made him to work and gave him a job. Now, let me take a side note and a quick auxiliary moment here and point something out. Notice this morning that the Garden of Eden was not a place of just handouts. Sometimes we think of work today as a curse. Now, I understand the sin curse, that we're going to work by the sweat of our brow. And there is some element to the fact that work is more difficult with the sin curse on humanity. But work is not a curse. By the way, and this is another side note, but as a mom and dad, be very careful ever punishing your kids with work. That's a huge no-no. Work is not a punishment. Work is a privilege. Work is a joy. It's a blessing to get to work. So we don't punish kids with work. I mean, if we punish kids with work, they're never going to want to work, which is exactly where we are in American culture and society today. So work is not a punishment. That's free. And the Garden of Eden was not a place of handouts. God did not create the Garden of Eden and then say, now, Adam, you just hang out in your cot all day and the birds are going to bring you the fruit of the trees and they're going to feed you and take care of you. And boy, you just enjoy the splendor. No, God said, I created the garden. It's awesome. The food and all the substance is there. But Adam, you go get it. You keep it. You dress it. You cultivate it. You work it. There was some work that God intended him to do. And so God made Adam and God gave him a job. And before Eve was on the scene, this was Adam's purpose. This was his identity. This is what he was to do. Okay? Now, God then assesses the situation and look at verse number 18 in Genesis chapter 2 there in your notes. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So God creates Adam. God created the garden. God said, Adam, you are to manage the garden. You are to care and dress for the garden. You are to keep it. This is your job. This is your work. This is your identity. And then God looks at Adam and he says, you know what? He needs some help. And all of us in this room as husbands are thankful that God noticed we needed help. And he was going to give for us a wife. And he gives here to Adam a helpmeet. The Hebrew word for helpmeet means literally a help answering to him or one who answers. There was a need and God's answer for it in the life of man was a wife, a helpmeet. In Adam's case, it was Eve. The Apostle Paul developed this thought a little bit further in 1 Corinthians 11, 9, there are new notes where he says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, the feminist movement today doesn't like that because they feel that it makes women inferior. It's not inferior at all, but God said, listen, man needs a woman. And so a woman was created for the man. And now it's man's job to love, to serve, to protect, to provide, to care for his woman, his wife. For Adam, it was Eve. For me, it is Susanna. For you, and you fill in the blank. And that's God's intention. That's God's design. And so man, inwardly, deep down, has an innate desire for adventure, for conquest, to work, to achieve, to provide. This is not just something peripherally as an option for him. This is something he desires to do. And from Jacob's day in Genesis till now, men are still asking the question, and when shall I provide for my own house? There's just something about a man that feels good when you're providing for your home, when you're caring for your family, when you're paying the bills, when you're meeting the needs. There's just something about that. It's fulfilling. It's who God has us being in our homes. It's how God intended this entire thing. And so, ladies, when it comes to reverencing Him, respecting Him, cheering Him on, understand this is who God made Him to be. This is a desire that He has. It's in His pedigree. From the very first man, as Adam was formed from the dust of the ground and given a job, so God intends for us today as husbands to work and to provide and to care for. And it's something that we need to understand from the very beginning in the background of it. So we see in his pedigree, but then we see, secondly, it in his personality. It's in his personality. In other words, it's not just Old Testament life, it's today. Have you ever heard two guys talking? It doesn't take long for them in a conversation to find out, what do you do? Why? Because what do you do is an identity for a guy. You ever heard two ladies talk? It doesn't take long to find out, how long have you been married? And what children do you have? And what are their ages? And what are their names? And those types of things. Why? Because ladies identify with their family. And I'm not saying men don't identify with their family or that ladies don't identify with their achievements. I'm just saying it's more natural for a lady to identify with her family very quickly. And it's more natural for a man to identify with what he does very quickly. It's just in our nature. It's who God made us. And so men often identify themselves by their work or what they're accomplishing. You watch young girls in the home, and by nature, they want to play, you know, home, or they want to play babysitter, or they want to play mommy, or they want to cook a meal, or they want to do those types of things. It's, you don't necessarily have to teach them that, but from a very young age, it's in their nature to want to meet those needs and provide in that way. Then you look at young men, and it's the same way. It's in their nature to want to do something, conquer something, build something, shoot something, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just in their nature to do that. It's who they are. And a young man is that way. He is desiring to accomplish those things and to do those things, and it's in his very nature. And so when a man is created by God, he has a job to do, and it's who God has made him in his nature, then this is something that needs to be reverenced. It's something that is very important to him. You say, well, Brother Will, what about when the wife works? How does that work in the home? And we've covered these things in lessons in the past, and we'll cover them again in the future, but let me just take a moment and mention here that when God blesses your home with children, that for every couple, a decision needs to be made. Okay, how are we going to manage this gift from the Lord? Children are a gift from the Lord. They're the heritage of the fruit of the womb is the heritage of the Lord. They're His gift. They're His reward to the family. And so as God blesses your home with children, how will you care? How will you provide for them? And in our culture today, we basically are told that whether mom stays home with the children or dad stays home with the children, it's the same. Now, I just want to tell you something. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, okay? My being home with the children full-time and my wife being home with our children full-time is not the same. It's not the same at all. I do not have the built-in characteristics of nurturing children the way that my wife does. I'm not saying it's impossible for me to be with them, but they're not receiving what they could be receiving from mom. That's just nature. I believe that's God's design. The Bible says in Titus about a lady being a keeper of the home. And so it's of nature. And so when you look at this, okay, who is going to provide for the family? Who is going to care for the children? A decision needs to be made. It may be, well, we both need to work. Okay, then who's going to care for the children? It may be daycare, something of this nature. At which time you need to stop and look at life and say, okay, Is it that we both have to work and the best solution is for daycare to rear our kids? Or could we lower our standard of living so that our children could have us nurturing them and training them and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? I do not believe there is a higher level of care for a child than mom and dad. I do not think that can be duplicated. I don't care how fancy the facility or how advanced the personnel are. At the end of the day, as they teach or train those kids, they're not their own, but they are yours and they are mine. And so we recognize that, hey, our children are going to benefit from our involvement. And then when it comes to, well, who's involved? Mom, for kids that are at home, not in school yet, God has given you ability to provide for them and to nurture them in a great way, something that we don't want to overlook and to take for granted. Now, listen, it may be that you're thinking, okay, well, if we do that, there may be some wives in here that say, I would like to be home. I would like to care for our children this way. But a lot of ladies are aware of the fact that in order to be at home and to kind of create a home, there has to be provision for that. And ladies, never forget the fact that one of the greatest responsibilities and weights that your husband carries is that of the financial provision of your home. And it's something that you want to recognize and be aware of, and it's something that you want to appreciate about his desire to work hard and to provide for the family to meet those needs. And there may need to be a time where we're getting together and we're discussing, hey, how can we work together to make this work? Maybe we need to lower expectations. Maybe we need to be a bit more frugal, whatever the case may be. But if the husband is striving to provide and the family is working together in this area, everyone in the family should benefit. And so it's in his personality. I want to work. I want to achieve. I want to provide. I want to do the best that I can. And it may be on us to do more, or it may be on our family to say, hey, we're not going to be able to follow God's plan and have everything else also. But I think we understand that there are some things more important than the size of our home and the year of our car and the brand on the tags on the clothes in which we wear. You don't hear many young people at the end of their time in the home say, boy, I'm so thankful that we lived in this huge home or that we got anything we ever wanted. But you'll often hear children talk about, I'm so thankful my mom and dad spent time with me and took me places and made memories and those types of things. And so we want to keep all of that in perspective and we want to work together. Ladies, in order to make this work, there may need to be a lowering of expectations. You may not be able to just go out and get whatever you want on the whim or on the fly. It may be, hey, for this all to work, I want to appreciate his work, but I don't want to couple that with this pressure of, well, you better bring home this, this, and this, or we can't do whatever. Hey, I could paint my nails at home and save some money from some professional manicure or pedicure. We could eat some generic brands of whatever. Growing up in our home, we never ate cereal out of a box. I didn't know cereal came in a box. I mean, we got the big bags, the kind you have to tie on top of the car, you know, and bring home. And you just eat the same thing for a month, you know. And that's just how we grew up. I didn't know that it was any different. I mean, there were meals my mom and dad got so creative with. And as kids, you didn't know what was going on. It was great. It was fun. They made it fun. But looking back on it now, they just decided, hey, this is how we're going to do it. This is the way it's going to be. And they had to make some adjustments along the way. And I'm so thankful that they did. And you may have children there in school and mom and dad may both be working and you're managing all of that. And that's great. And I just want to encourage you ladies to reverence this desire on his behalf to work with him, to make this work for your home and for your children. It's important. So we see it in his pedigree. We see it in his personality. But then thirdly, we see that he needs a promoter. And ladies, I want to challenge you as we close this thought this morning to be someone who is thanking him for working, letting him know that you appreciate this about him. When's the last time that maybe a note has gone off in his lunch? And when he opened the lunch on the break, he got a note from you saying, honey, thank you for working hard. Thank you for what you do. Maybe saying to him, honey, I'm so appreciative that you provide for our family. And I know that you go out and you work hard every day. And I know that I don't even know maybe all that that entails. But I'm so thankful for what you do. And I want you to know that I appreciate it. I want you to know that I respect you for it. Why? Because there's a desire that a man has to be appreciated for this area and to be believed in by his spouse. And it's very parallel to our relationship with God. God wants us to believe in him and his provision for us and to appreciate him in this regard. And so the Lord applies that to marriage as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And ladies, I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know what your financial situation is, but if it's not good, nobody should ever know that from you. If it's not what you want it to be, nobody should ever be able to pick up on that from you. Why? Because I'm telling you right now, there's not a more accurate dart that you could throw at him than to criticize and to demean or to put down this area of working, achieving, providing for the family. Well, if you just made more, or if you did whatever, I'm just telling you right now, that's one of the greatest blows you can send in your relationship. Because there's something about your husband that says, I want to be the one that's working, achieving, providing, meeting the needs for. And maybe it's been a tough season. Maybe it's been some time without work. Maybe it's been a move. Maybe it's been a layoff. Maybe it's been a decrease of hours or pay or whatever the case may be. And I just want to encourage you this morning, first of all, as men, let's strive to be that one that's providing and meeting the needs of our family. And I know we're praying with some of you right now about jobs and provision. And God, would you please provide that for them? But then as the Lord does provide, then it may need to be a team effort. It may need to be a, hey, we can make it. We just have to live on what we make. And we have to lower some of these expectations, recognizing that some things are more important. And ladies, recognizing this is a big area in his life and his heart. And I want to reverence him. And I want to cheer him on. And I want to support him in this area. And I don't want to be a burden in this area. I don't want to be a pressure like, well, you better do this or you better do that. Listen, my family may not have it as good as some other families here. But that's not what life's about. We're supposed to be laying up treasure for there. So it's not supposed to be about, can we keep up with the Joneses? Because I want to tell you something. Nobody in this room can. Somebody always has it better than you. I mean, some people have bathrooms bigger than our home. Some people, I mean, you know, they don't have cars. They have drivers. I mean, you know, they have personal jets. I mean, seriously, you're not going to keep up with the Joneses. And I'm not saying you have to find the worst case scenario and then rejoice in it. But what I am saying is, hey, we've got a roof over our head. The Bible says with food and raiment, there were to be content. I don't think anybody's starving this morning. We've all got some clothes on this morning. The Bible says that qualifies you to live a contented life. The Bible says you're doing fine. But I'm telling you, we live in a culture right now that tells us never be content. Never. We always need more. We need the newest. We need the improved. We need the bigger. We need the better. Whatever. And I'm just saying, ladies, recognize this is something that weighs on your husband. It's a big area in his life. And make sure he does not feel unappreciated. Make sure he does not feel like he's just the meal ticket in the relationship. But make sure there's some appreciation and there's some support coming your way. And maybe you're home, both are working. Okay, well then make sure there's mutual appreciation and make sure there's discussion on the home front. Okay, if we're both working, then what's the division of duties at home? Because I know how we feel, guys. We go to work all day, we want to come home, we want to stop working. We'll work again tomorrow when we're going back to work. But hey, if we've worked all day and she's worked all day, that isn't fair. So we need to come home and have a division of labor at home. And who's running the vacuum today? And who's cooking the meal? And who's doing the dishes, et cetera, et cetera? All of that needs to be worked out. So ladies, recognize this area in his life and support and encourage him in this area. And your financial situation, by the way, Just as true as it is that somebody always has it better than you and I can keep with the Joneses, listen to me. Somebody always has it worse than you. The vast majority of the world live in poverty. For us in America, in comparison to the world, what we have, and I mean, to go to a grocery store and to have that kind of variety and that kind of surplus and so forth, in many areas of the world, it's just not even known. It's not reality. And we've been so blessed and so spoiled, and our appetite has been so ignited that we just, it's an insatiable desire for more, 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 more. And I'm just telling you right now, that can begin to put some pressure on the home that's not good and not healthy. And sometimes there needs to be a step back and say, God, this isn't about building a bunch of stuff up for here anyway. We're supposed to be laying up treasure for an eternity. So thank you for the roof overhead. And thank you for the meals that we eat. And thank you for the raiment that we wear. And help us to stay balanced. And I'm not saying that we should, you know, walk everywhere and hitchhike. And I'm not saying any of that. God loves to provide for his children. God has so blessed our family and many of yours as well. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is that can't be the focus. And there needs to be a teamwork effort. And there needs to be, hey, this is something that's so important to him, and I want to support him in that way. There's some ideas given at the end of the lesson about how you can communicate that. And ladies, I want to encourage you this week, work at reverencing your husband, specifically in the area of working and achieving, because it's a burden that he carries and an area he needs your support. And then next week, guys, we'll learn. We learned last week about being close. Next week, we'll learn about being open, how we can be more open with our communicating love. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for our time together in your word and in class today. Bless our class. Give them a great day tomorrow. Many of them will be off. Give them a good time with their family. Bless us this week. Strengthen our relationships. Bring us back safely next Sunday, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.